Hello, everyone. For this second episode of Immutable Mutineers, I am speaking with friend, sartorialist, husband, father, creator, brand influencer, Sabir Peel. He is the founder and CEO of Men's Style Pro, an online style guide for men within the millennial age who care to look a little smarter, a little more put together, a little more serious about their shit. He gives great insight on how he has grown his business and gotten it to where it is. He gives great insight as to how he stayed true to himself through his core, whether that be through the emulation of fashion, whether it be through growing his business, whether it be through growing and raising his family. Sabir was such a delight to talk to, and I really hope you guys enjoy this episode. Feel free to leave some comments on our Instagram post, and please check Sabir out on all of his social media. Talk soon, guys. Thanks. I am talking to people that I think are awesome and I want other people to know about, yeah. So hopefully it will grow into something where I can draw attention to people that are doing cool shit.
Cool.
But primarily, I think that you fall into the spectrum of what I consider, the term is ridiculous, but an immutable mutineer to me is someone who goes against all odds to kind of keep driving forward in the life that they see fit for themselves,
mm-hmm.
that is not cookie cutter.
Right.
So I think for you, why you appealed to me so much for talking about how you are a rebel in your own way is primarily the fact that since I met you, nothing about you has changed. You've remained the same.
Mm-hmm.
And being that your business is fashion, and fashion to some means ever-changing.
Right.
But to those who know, it's eternal.
Right.
But you are that eternal, like, epitome of what I know for fashion, especially for men's fashion. So.
Aw, snap. This is about to be good. All right, shit. Well, cheers to that.
Cheers. So that was mainly where I found you to be most interesting. Second to that, I think a lot of who we are as people has to do with how seriously we take ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you cool with the plant all over you?
Is it all over you? Oh, yes.
Living that natural life.
Could even feel it in this fucking hair. So I think that a lot of people, myself included, fall into laziness with their attire, and that tends to trickle down into every single other thing that you do in your day. And I think for you, if anyone follows you, or when they come to follow you, they will see that you are like Speedy Gonzalez,
mm-hmm.
from the minute you wake up till 11 o'clock at night.
Well, if you saw my Instagram story from today, when we're done, let's just look at it. My last meeting I was at over at Watchbox, and the woman who runs like marketing for Watchbox specifically, she was like, I've been following your Instagram story all day. She was like, how did you do so much today already? And it was like 12.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, the certain days, I'm pretty motivated every day.
Yeah.
But there are certain days I was like, I like being busy in a different aspect.
Yeah.
Like, being busy for me is not about like doing a lot. It's about doing the things you set out to do well.
Yes.
And like very efficiently.
Yes.
So
achieving.
Like, yeah. So it looks like I'm doing a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
Which I am to like the average person who has a 9-to-5 job.
Yes.
They're like, how would you do that? I'm like, well, I'm doing pretty much probably the same amount of work that you're probably doing.
Mm-hmm.
You just see me doing all this stuff.
Yes.
And it's my job. My job is fun, so.
Yes, and it comes off very genuine in that way. I don't think there's ever been a time to where you couldn't tell, even if people don't know you, that you are genuinely excited about the thing that you're doing, or
mm-hmm.
the thing you're going to be doing. So that's refreshing. And I think a lot of people don't know how to navigate their professional and their personal lives in a way that is kind of binding the two and being true to both.
Right.
And you very much embody that.
Yeah.
With what you're doing.
I think in certain careers or whatever people decide to do, there's a part of it that is a little bit lucky, depending on what you are, who you are. So like, you work in PR, you love working with brands and getting behind the scenes. That's a lucky place to be to do that on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for what I do, I get to work with brands, also be behind the scenes, but then I do it on the fashion end, primarily, and lifestyle end. And I very much dictate everything I do. And there's I'm going to say there's a bit of luck that I'm able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not like luck, like, oh, damn, this is like some kind of winning. But execution wise for me, I, from a business and personal perspective, I am what I do. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say like, oh, you're not what you do. I am. And what I mean by that is like, yo, when I wake up, I have business ideas and fashion ideas on my brain. But when people see me, they assume I do something in that field. Mm-hmm. But before even talking to me, because mm-hmm. I embody the things that I do. Yes. And I like that. Yes. And I know a lot of people say like, you don't work to live, or you don't live to work, or work to live, to all that jazz. But like, while I can do what I'm doing, I'm going to be my brands. Mm-hmm. Because it's authentic. Mm-hmm. It's really who I am. Mm-hmm. Like, you won't see me somewhere. And I'm not trying... I don't put on. Like, I don't go everywhere. Like, people see me in suits and stuff all the time. They're like, oh, you're the suitable. But then, like, you've seen me, like, in joggers and leather jackets and yeah. whatnot. And you're like, oh, damn, I didn't know you did that. I'm like, I'm all these people.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much... I think I'm three people.
Yeah.
But I'm always me. Mm-hmm. But what you see is, like, I want people to see this version of me. Mm-hmm. It's not anything that I'm trying to put on. Like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. But I know how to monetize.
Right. Which is what makes what you're doing different than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think being able to find comfortability in who you are outwardly with your aesthetics, your performance, the way that you exist out in the world, mm-hmm. is something that people have to work really hard to do, and the ones that find it to come pretty effortlessly to them are the ones that usually get these opportunities.
Right.
Now, we all know those kinds of people, and I would say that you are very similar to them, mm-hmm. but you are not them, because there is an issue of drive with you that I think really has helped you to be luckier right. than most, because you are aggressive in your opportunities. You follow through, you follow up, you pitch, you're putting yourself out there. Where do you find like the confidence to do that? And has that always been the way that you've like approached your business and like your personal brand from the jump?
Part of it's like mindset. And I think it comes from no one directly telling me that I couldn't do it, but knowing that like in certain arenas, I'm not supposed to be there. Yeah. And I know that in most places where I go, I'm the most qualified person to be there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do I get to that mindset though? It's more of like, all right, what have I done that shows the fact that like your return on your investment in me is worth it to you? I don't care what your business is, but if I'm coming to you or you're coming to me, we both know that like us becoming a mutual partnership is meaningful.
Yeah.
So every little thing that I've done, even before I was getting paid from InStylePro, like when I used to create these, all these blog editorials and things like that, I was using that as my practice mm-hmm. to where when I started pitching to brands, mm-hmm. I say visually, I know I can do this. From a business perspective, I know you want to see like what's the insights going to be, what are the clicks, what are this, what are that. I can provide you all that. But what I can really provide for you is a different voice that you do not have. And then over time, my voice has become a pundit in where it's like, we trust you. For one, you're not haphazardly picking what you work with mm-hmm. or who you work with too. Two, research. I think where people get a lot of things wrong in this space is that they don't research the brands that they want to work with. Mm-hmm. So they come in and they'll reach out, and I know this pitch because brands get very comfortable with me. Because mm-hmm. I come in, I'm like, look, what do you want? Mm-hmm. What are you hoping to get out of our relationship? And then really we just shoot the shit.
Yeah.
Because they know I'm going to do these things.
Yes.
Because when I really took this on as my full-time job, either I do this really well and continue to grow and make money and support my family, mm-hmm. or I don't. Mm-hmm. And like, I've been poor.
Yeah.
I don't want to be poor.
No.
Like, growing up in the hood poor,
yeah.
you don't see it as a problem because everyone else around you is in that same space, so you know your environment. Mm-hmm. But when I started to look at people who were successful at what they did, not just from a financial perspective, but like emotionally and like happy, those people who were the happiest doing what they did and really had some business mindset behind it did better. I was like, yeah. I want to be that. Because
yeah.
like, I don't mind. I told someone recently, and I tell people this often, I was like, you have to be willing to risk everything to win.
Yes.
Because like, if you're good at anything, you can lose everything. Mm-hmm. Like, even during this time frame of being Men's Style Pro, I've been completely broke, but I actually, I've been without money. I've not been broke, but I wasn't poor. Because, like, part of it is, like, it's your mindset. Once you, like, lose all your stuff, you're like, damn, I got nothing. I'm never going to make it. I was like, no, I literally know how to get back up.
Yes.
That plan is already set a month down the road. This is just the bump that sometimes that part is cyclical.
Yeah.
But most of the time, like, you can figure your shit out.
Yeah, for sure. When did you realize that fashion was important to you? Or something that you had, like, interest and intrigue with, like, trying to figure out for yourself?
I think really in high school was the time, like, when fashion became, like, very present for me as a part of my personality.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in, actually, right before I started high school, I used to work at a clothing store under the table, this Korean clothing store up in Germantown. My grandmother worked on the street at a dry cleaner. She worked there for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So, like, appearance and, like, fashion have always been in my mind and in my, like, actual life, but never something like, you should go into fashion. But I got this job, and I learned how to do, like, basic measuring and tailoring as a 14-year-old.
Cool. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And the funny part was, I never thought of this as something I would do as a career. Like, I saw the retail aspect and the skill aspect.
Yeah.
And I kind of left it as that, but I always liked it. When I got in high school, though, I remember one of the first days of school, and, like, my friends will recount this to me often after, when like, my friends meet people who are, like, my friends from, my current life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yo, Sevier always is stylish. My boy Aaron always brings this up. From that store, I bought these shirts. They look like nautical shirts,
mm-hmm.
but they were just like nautical in theme.
Yeah.
This one shirt was red and it had these sailboats on it, like blue and white sailboats. Mm-hmm. And I had these like Guess jeans and just some like crispy white shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew from that moment when I walked into school that day, I was like, this means something. Because mm-hmm. people were like, yo, that shit's dope. And like that shirt wasn't like a non-name brand thing. It was just like, I started to understand, like, not everything is that's branded is good.
Yep.
You can find something that's just, like, completely off brand that's perfect.
Yep.
And I started to realize those things. And then sometime in high school, I would say, like, sophomore, junior year, I actually started designing clothes for friends. So I would do, like, bleach designs on people's jeans. Like, I would take my old Tim's, step in bleach, do that shit, spray some stuff.
I love it. Yes. Yeah. I remember that so hard, mm-hmm. that time.
Yeah. And then I actually took a few people, and I took their jerseys, and I would take, like, old jeans that people were throwing away. I cut out the numbers
mm-hmm.
for the jersey, and then cover the jersey in that denim. So, like, on the front, it'd look like a normal jersey. In the back, it'd be denim numbers.
Okay.
I was like, yo, this is something.
Yeah.
I always saw, like, the application.
Being creative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that I think that's, high school was really something that planted the seed that, yo, you can do something with this, but you have to figure it out. Until you figure it out, don't try to make it your thing.
Yeah.
Like, follow your true, like, business interests.
Yeah.
And then if it comes back up, where are you at? Where are you at mentally? Are you now at a point where you can be like, all right, I have this skill and interest. Now, what's the business application for it?
Right. So when did you first feel like you didn't want to do anything else enough, that this was kind of what you were putting all of your eggs in the basket for? What year, basically, did Men's Style Pro come to be, if you had to give it a year?
So that's a hard question. So I think there was a spark in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So the summer 2006, I was staying on campus at Ursinus. I was working on campus, and I got my first subscription to GQ that year. Literally first subscription. Something in me was like, yo, you should write a mock article and put some pictures in. Like, I wrote it in and pulled some pictures from all the web and sent it to the editors.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely forgot that I did this, like, as I got older.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot that I did it. And I sent it out. Never heard anything back. But something told me to do it. So, like, one weekend, I just sat and did this. I wasn't out partying and drinking. I was, like, literally writing this thing to mail off to GQ. And at that point, I was like, I think I want to work in fashion and, like, some kind of, like, editorial facet.
Yeah.
I knew it then.
Yeah.
And then, but, like, I think that might have been the start of, like, who Men's Style Pro was going to be.
Yeah.
Because sure. I think when you think fashion, you automatically think designer.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to be a designer directly, but I want to design at some point.
Yes.
I want to have my hand in, like, the distribution and the creation, like, the creative director role for publication side.
Yeah.
So I would say 2006 was the real start, but not until, like, 2009, 10. Because 2010 is when I started Men's Style Pro.
Yeah.
But like 2009, I was like, yo, I I'm sitting on this idea of something, and I don't know what it is yet. And then a friend of mine who literally I just ran into the street on the street yesterday or the day before. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him in 6 years.
Oh, cool.
My fraternity brother, literally on the corner.
Wow.
And he was the person that pushed me to enter Esquire's Best Dressed Romance Competition in 2009-10. And that was the spark, because people were seeing my image, and I would be in like all these chat forums and people's websites like dropping knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, you know so much about men's fashion and men's wearing, like, lifestyle, but from a very, very, like, approachable perspective.
Yeah.
You should think about doing something with it. That's what I kept hearing. You should think about doing something with it. So, like I said before, like, for me, I'm like, all right, if I'm going to do something, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And how am I going to execute it?
Mm-hmm. So, basically, over the last 8 years, we'll say,
mm-hmm.
you've had so many partnerships. You've had so many partnerships with brands that led you to be able to create and design, which has kind of been what you've mentioned
yeah.
was
your original. I feel like that's a dream for some people. Like,
right. You're kind of made it full circle. What do you see in the near future for you in terms of, like, because I know you're not satisfied, so you'll never be satisfied in the best way possible.
I'm at my peak of, like, not satisfied, too. Like, I have, cool. I'm like, sitting on some things where it's like, yo, come on.
Yeah. Like, what? What's my
so I'll tell
or
you what
ideally
I,
like
no
that.
I'll tell you ideally what I want to do
yeah.
because like this is common knowledge because I'm not hard about withholding. I want to turn like what Men's Style Pro is now
mm-hmm.
to be a true e-commerce based editorial website. So think about going to like Mr. Porter.
Yes.
You go there, like obviously you go to their shop, mm-hmm. but they put out the best editorial content.
They sure do.
That makes you want to stay.
Yeah.
Like I want Men's Style Pro to have that hold on the market. To where, like, you just come here and you just don't want to leave.
Get lost, yeah.
Like, I want it to be, like, you coming to my office. Like, you come here, you don't want to leave here.
Yeah.
I want it to have that platform to where I'm hiring a staff. We have distribution. We're selling clothes. We're mm-hmm. making our own collaborations there. It's, like, the men's top. Or it'll probably just be shown on MSP. But, like, the MSP mm-hmm. by Nike, whoever, we're doing some shit together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be my 2-year plan to make it beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a like mock version of it
mm-hmm.
to do a full affiliate like shopping platform on the site
mm-hmm.
where I'll use like reward style someone to make it a straight up boutique
mm-hmm.
and really push the marketing in
mm-hmm.
and see like how people respond to that.
Love it.
I did that once before and it was really good, but like the platform itself was like a little choppy.
Yeah.
But the reward style platform is really good and they have a boutique thing set up. So I'm going to really push it and I want to grow that out. And really add like a video component to what Men's Style Pro is.
Yes.
And also take some of the front facing in off of me. Like you've seen a lot of me, like shit, like
mm-hmm.
you can't see enough of me now.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanna really start working with like bringing in models, doing the styling, this and that. Cause I have good partnerships with even brands in Philly, like
mm-hmm.
the Boyds and things like that. But I've done work with the Neiman's, the Bloomingdale's, where I can go and like, hey, I want to come in for a date, shoot this lookbook.
Mm-hmm.
You guys like the best trends or whatever for the fall, yada, 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 and it's not me.
Yeah.
But I can still distribute and talk and be the next level of where I should be.
Yeah, I love that for you.
I think it's good that I did take the brunt of like being the face of it because one, that builds your confidence
yeah.
and everything. And two, I'm sought after for things.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes when you don't put yourself out, specifically in the era we're in, when you don't put yourself out there, people don't know who's a part of the brand.
Yeah.
People, like you hear Men's Style Pro, people will see me on the street and say, yo, Men's Style Pro. That's good. They know I'm that brand.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look on like the Men's Style Pro specific platforms,
yeah.
the icon is just the MSP Men's Style
yeah.
Pro. It's not my face.
Yeah.
So it's good people are making those associations.
100%. That is so exciting to hear.
Right.
I said when I walked in here today, because it's been a couple of months since I've been here, that his office looks like the embodiment of editorial clips and snapshots of like his favorite things all put into like
one space,
like a beautiful little box. So the idea that you would basically curate this into a physical place, metaphysical place for people to visit makes a lot of sense
right.
for you. And I think I really enjoy the idea of you being able to just introduce people to your idea of fashion, because mm-hmm. I think your idea of fashion is very adaptable and right. approachable for the average person, whether yeah. they're looking to find an occasion outfit or they're like tired of what they look like and yeah, they want to go do an full overhaul. Blown. Right. So if you were going to meet with like a Joe Schmo mm-hmm. and kind of tell them like, listen, I can tell you're not happy. This is what I want to do for you. Like, where would there be the correlation between the site and the person and kind of helping them to figure out where to find that spark right. for their new, like, look, so aesthetic?
Originally, I would always send them to the site. But look, we're going to meet, but I want you to go through, like, what you've seen, or if you haven't seen anything on InStyle Pro, because you haven't been looking at it, mm-hmm. go through the site and tell me what, like, kind of looks or products appeal to you. So they can see, like, all right, I like this that you do. I don't like this that you do. Because mm-hmm. I'd rather someone really tell me what they don't really like mm-hmm. instead of me imposing my style on them.
Sure.
But that integration, there needs to be, and something I've never done on the site, there needs to be a gallery aspect to it mm-hmm. where you can go search. But, like, okay, occasion. Like, I know a few guys that have this on their site, and I like mm-hmm. it. I wouldn't mind biting this idea from y'all. So you can go on and say, damn, I really want to, like, figure out, like, oh, black tie.
Yeah.
Or creative black tie. Because yeah. now we're in like maximalist everything.
Yeah.
So you might want to go into creative black tie instead yeah. of just black tie and search those things. I want people to be able to go through there and create their own visual lookbook mm-hmm. and say, I love these things that you've done. How can I get the elements to make my style better?
Yeah.
Then I would go in just for like meeting with Joe Schmo and say, look, what kind of person are you? Like, do you go out? Are you more of a homebody? And then say, like, what kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to expand your, like, your reach in terms of, like, I want to do these things. I want to be the guy who goes to the art museum, but I want to go to, like, the whiskey bar, and I also hang out with the boys on the weekend. Then I started to tailor the pieces that I think you should have as your staples mm-hmm. to the guy that you want to be, instead of still me saying, like, this is who I think you are. Mm-hmm. I want to base it off of who you really want to be and then tweak.
Mm-hmm. I like that approach. I think people start to care more about what they outwardly look like mm-hmm. when they are looking to kind of match the outside to the inside.
Right.
For you, I've seen your style develop over the years, mm-hmm. but like I said, it hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. It's been fine-tuned. But is there any look or kind of like vibe you haven't pulled off yet that you're dying to and you need like an occasion or... Because I have a shitload of those kinds of like fantasy outfits in my head.
So I would,
do you have one?
So I don't. If I'm going to be 100% honest.
Oh, my God. How?
And I, because in my mind, I really haven't limited myself to like, yo, I can't do this.
Yeah.
But there's things that I haven't done because I generally don't like it enough.
Yeah.
There's certain styles that like I see some of my homies rock, and I'm like, that is very dope. Mm-hmm. And I like a part of it. Like, visually, the shit is fire.
Yeah.
But there's something about it I don't really see working for me. And I'm like, I'm not going to even put myself in a situation
yeah.
to where I'm so uncomfortable because not that I was like not confident about the outfit.
Yeah, basically.
I didn't like a piece of it enough. I'm very detailed that way.
Yeah.
So if I didn't like it enough, oh shit.
Did it die? It's done so.
You might have lost like a couple minutes there.
Oh, I don't care. I can keep going.
But you got all that. You're
yeah.
good.
Yeah, we're good.
I haven't found an outfit or anything. I'm like, yo, I'm dying to try this, but I'm afraid to. I'm trying, what am I? Something that I would like to try, but I know I'm not tall enough. But I see you guys who are my height do it. Mm-hmm. Like the oversized top coat. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, that'd be cool. And I think I could do that one and be comfortable
with
it. You
could murder like a camel mohair that's like just barely top of shin length.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't done it because I'm always so particular about my jacket fits.
Yes.
So breaking out of that would be like, all right, Sabir, just do it. That might be my one thing. One of those like textual camel hair, like camel hair coats.
Yeah, where it's like baggy in the back and mm-hmm. the sides, and you're like, okay, fuck it. It's yeah. huge, but it's supposed to be huge.
Right.
Right.
And it looks dope. Like, that's one of the ones that looks really good to me. I'm like, all right, I can pull it off.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been my thing.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, I'm fair game for almost anything as yeah. long as it's tailored right.
Yeah.
It can be any color, anything. I'm not going to be one of the dudes, though, you're going to catch wearing like one of those like polyurethane plastic jackets. Like, I don't do fashion. I'm not a fashion person. I never yeah. have. Like, I'm a true, like...
Trend. You're not a trend.
Yeah. I'm a style person. Like, I see the style application for things.
Yeah.
Obviously, I follow all the fashion magazines.
Yeah.
Because there's things that will always be constant, and I like new shit.
Mm-hmm.
But my style hasn't really changed. It just definitely has developed. And I thought about that from when I won the Esquire thing when I was in the Final Five. And I looked at my, like, 10 looks. I'm like, I shouldn't have won overall, and I'm glad I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think they were as refined. But mind you, I was like 23, 24.
So young. That was like the beginning of everything.
Yeah. When people started saying like, yo, who's this severe dude?
Yeah.
I was a fucking kid.
Yeah. But your passion and your drive put you there because mm-hmm. you believed, like, I've always been told you dress for where you want to be, not where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt that way about you.
Yeah.
I feel like we would go out in events in the city and like, no offense, no one take any fucking offense to this or I'll freak out. But people in Philadelphia don't like to dress. They don't like to dress up.
Right.
I would always feel overdressed in, like, heels and a dress, having my hair done, makeup on. Like,
right.
I'm taking my job seriously. I'm taking my appearance seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You would be one of the few people, besides, like, Ian Michael Crum, who loved dearly. That would be it. And then
right.
there would be a handful of beautiful women all in the dresses and the heels.
Right.
But on the business side, there was never any output from anyone.
No.
So I've always kind of counted on you to be the level of aesthetic professionalism in the room because
yeah.
you take seriously who you're going to see, where you're going. You look neat. You're clean, your clothes are clean. They're pressed. Your face is washed. Like, you put effort into your overall appearance for the respect of the people you're going to meet.
Right.
And I've always appreciated that about
you.
Thank you.
Shit.
Much.
The funny part is, like, I always tell people, for me, I like being able to go anywhere and do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people will say like, oh, well, as a person, I should be able to just go anywhere. I'm like, yes. But at the same time, if you don't look the part of being somewhere, it's not like you got to go out and buy a bunch of shit. But if you're not coming in with some power in your look and confidence in who you are, you're just haphazardly getting dressed and looking slub-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that's cool because people should just be happy that you're here. I'm like, no,
mm-hmm.
it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's right at all. I think it's like a bullshit way to go about life.
Yes.
Cause like for me, I always give myself like the hotel test.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I can walk into any hotel and I'm not staying there and just go to the bathroom and leave
mm-hmm.
because of like how I presented myself,
yeah.
you assume that I'm here.
Yeah.
Like I've walked into the Ritz so many times. I'm like, oh, I'm right here. I need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh sir, how are you today? I'm like, I'm good. I'm real good. Thank you.
Bathroom hack.
Yeah. Right to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And dip. I'm like, oh, you have a good day too.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's part respectability too. Why don't you want to be your best self?
Yes.
Like, aesthetically, I want to look good as shit for me.
Yes. Yes. So I think you embody, like, the vibe that women give when they're dressing is
mm-hmm.
for other women and
mm-hmm.
for themselves. Rarely is it for their boyfriend, for anyone they're going to
yeah.
see on the street, unless they're like prowling and they're
right.
about that life.
About to be...
Everybody's had that phase, but typically girls are dressing for other girls to be like, love your outfit.
Right.
Where'd you
get
that?
Yeah.
There's like a community there, but I think for you, you embody the part of men don't typically give a shit about fashion.
Mm-hmm.
They'll wear suits to work if they need to every day because it's their uniform.
And I would say it's like men in our age bracket.
Yes.
Because like older
merchants.
Men, older dudes who like probably used to put it on, be fresh, and they know how to put it on.
Yeah.
When they see me, they're like, that's what I'm talking about. You're bringing it back. And
yes.
they used to, and that's when dressing up, like when you ever see the movie House Party?
Yes.
Remember like how they actually dress like Kid and Play? If you really look at what they're wearing, it's dress pants, like shirts with like
fancy,
pattern. Fancy
yeah.
shirts, but it was still like shit that was put together. And something that like
yes.
young kids, if they looked at that now, they're like, oh, that's kind of whack.
Right.
I'm like, but it was put together. Like they could literally walk in anywhere.
Yeah.
Because they look dope and they're dressed
yes.
appropriately. Not to say like you gotta be dressed up to be like,
no.
I don't dress up all the time. I wear sweatpants and shit all the time.
Right.
But even that stuff is still tailored. I look put together. I can still walk in almost anywhere.
There's thought put into what you're
right.
putting out.
It's stressing me out a little bit. I'm like, yo, why do you gotta look like shit?
It is unnerving a little bit because I think a lot of, like when you go to New York,
mm-hmm.
oh my God, I love, if I know I'm going to New York for at least the entire day
right.
and I don't have to like walk too much, I'm going all out because it's the only place
mm-hmm.
you can pull out your top level stuff.
Yeah.
go there, wear it, and not feel ridiculous and not feel out of place, when that should never be how you feel. Because you're putting effort into your day. It's almost like being surrounded by people that don't care about what they're looking like makes you feel like you shouldn't be trying so hard, because like, why me? Why should I look so nice when you all look like shit? But I think that has a lot to do more with personal feelings about knowing, like, no, I'm that motherfucker. Like, I wear this.
And that's the crazy shit is, like when you, it's like, say your car or your, like, bedroom are cluttered as fuck, it's because your mind is cluttered. And, like, you have so much going on. So, like, when you show that outward appearance that, like, you're a little bit sloppy, that's inside of you. Something else is going on.
Yeah.
That's not you as a sloppy person. You're, like, you're emotionally going through something, or you lost all confidence, so you hide within all of that.
For sure.
And it's okay. Like, shit, people go through stuff. But, like, if you want to make yourself feel your best, look your best. Like, that's just a start. That's something that you can control.
Yes, for sure.
Like, if there's things that you can't, like, you have all these things attacking you from the universe, but one thing you control is how you look.
Yes.
Like, you ever see the movie A Single Man?
Yes.
And, like, that Tom Ford movie, like, no matter how shitty dude felt when Colin Firth got up, he's like, I put on my suit, freshly pressed shirt, shine shoes, and I feel better just by how I look. Even if my day is shit. It's, like, it's a part of your human experience.
100%. And being able to look in the mirror and see yourself for who you know you are, and to have that visually matched is super important. I think it has also a lot to do with why you are so successful, because you have that constant, you've made it a habit. It is who you are, but you've made it a habit in your mannerisms, and now you get constant positive affirmations from yourself all day long. Not only that, it's benefiting your business, which is benefiting your life and your home life. Like, you, in just planting the seeds of accepting and loving who you are and putting everything you have behind that, have created this pretty dope existence where you get to live and be yourself and support yourself and your family and your dreams while doing that.
That's, like, the fun part about this, and, like, the partial business part, is that people in other businesses and brands recognize that. So, like, I'll get random emails throughout the day or throughout a week from brands like, hey, we really like what you've done. We want you to come up and hang out with us and talk to us. A lot of them turn into major campaigns. Like, I just shot this whole campaign a month ago with Allen Evans Shoes.
Cool.
And it drops next week on, like, the 5th. And the guy who reached out to me, like, their director of communications, he first hit me up on Facebook. And you don't think of Facebook as a business platform, but, like, when people hit me up, because I get a lot of requests, so I look through it and I'm like, who is this dude? And then he hit me up on Instagram and was like, yo, I have this opportunity, you're the guy, we want you to be one of the guys. Awesome. It was just like very informal but formal at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's like, yo, if I didn't give this outward appearance and be consistently this person, brands would be like, oh, he's cool. But then they see, like, oh, this is what he's doing business-wise. Like, okay, pretty package. Now he's actually doing shit.
You have continuity.
Yeah.
For sure.
And, like, everything doesn't always have to be 100% on the mark. I probably, no, go for 100. Fuck that. Like, let me stop playing.
Yeah, you rarely miss.
Yeah.
To be honest.
But it's like, you got to find out where it's authentically you.
Yes.
Because if you're trying so hard to be this thing, like, if someone saw, oh, this is what Sabir did, I'm going to try to do the same model, it won't work at all.
Yeah.
Because, like, the things that, why people like me won't be why they like you.
Yeah.
You don't want to be me, like, shit. Like, be you.
Yeah. I think people enjoy your personality first, and then the package that it comes in is, like, the added bonus.
Yeah.
But because you are legit with your appearance, you are not a worry for a brand.
No.
There's not a single part of any part of you that would scare them into thinking, like, oh, do I want to
tiptoe?
Right. You are trustworthy, and that is with your authenticity. I think the one thing that you nail that a lot of people really struggle super hard and then end up giving up over is finding the right path for you.
Right.
So if you had to give, like, one single bit of advice as to how to kind of trust the process and being yourself, mm-hmm. and allowing, you know, your like vibe to attract your tribe, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, where do you think people kind of go wrong in that aspect, and what is like the one thing they need to hear to kind of clear the air a bit for them?
I think what people get wrong, especially when you want to be an entrepreneur in a digital space, is that they want to do everything. They literally see that, like, okay, I'm gonna be a blogger, so I'm gonna model, I'm gonna do these blog posts, I'm gonna do hair, I'm gonna do clothes, I'm gonna do makeup, I'm gonna try to get some products out, and you literally have done nothing yet.
Yeah.
You've done nothing. You don't have any like pedigree or resume, and like, what people fail to look at is that, like, you should really plan out one thing at a time. Like, I read this book called like The One Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really talks about, like, yo, you can't do all these things and do them well.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much you think you can multitask and do things, really focus on, like, what's the one thing you want to be known for as you start out your path,
mm-hmm.
of whatever. Let people know you have these other interests and these other things, but the one thing that you might be really good at, be the best at that one thing,
mm-hmm.
or do it well enough that people start to recognize you for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I first started out in the blog, I was doing, like, the how to wear certain things this way. I was doing it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, obviously, you're seeing the way I style, seeing the way I write, but I was doing, like, yo, because where guys go, like, oh, damn, I don't want to buy a suit or this new jacket because it's expensive. I might only wear it for this one occasion. But I just showed you 10 ways, literally 10 ways, how to wear one look.
Mm-hmm.
Brands started saying, like, yo, can you do one of those, can you do a review of my thing and then potentially do one of those how to wear this way? And that became my hook. And then I was able to start to parlay my other interests or like skill sets into that, because I've mastered that part.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you have to master one thing that you think you're good at, you should be better at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you'll start to, one, develop how you work. Two, brands will start to trust your level of work because they see something you can do and do and do.
Mm-hmm.
And then stop bullshitting yourself. Maybe it's not working.
Sadly, but true, sometimes.
And then, like, start to tweak it, because maybe there's something in it that you still like.
Yeah.
Because if you can't stop thinking about it, you obviously should be doing it. But figure out where it is you're going to fall.
Yeah.
You got to talk to people, like, who might be in the industry. Look who's the people, like, because obviously you're not, unless you're creating a whole new market, look at who is the best in that space right now. Or someone who maybe mid-tier who's coming up, and reach out to them. At some point, people will be like, oh, shit, like, you're a fan of me, you're about to do whatever. What's up?
Mm-hmm.
People used to give me time. Like, my boy who actually won Esquire Specialist for Man the year before me, I think he might be a year older than I am, Dan Trapanier from, he lives in New York now, but he was a blogger, he started a clothing company now, and is doing very well. He just opened a store in Soho like a week ago, but I literally reached out to him, because I used to comment on all his posts, like, we had a good, like, internet relationship. I was like, look, I love your stuff, I'm thinking about doing this, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this is what you might need to do. I used to reach out to Dallas Shaw.
Yeah.
I'm like, because I met her like 5 years ago, and we were coming up in that same speed,
yeah.
But she has her illustration thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dallas, I'm thinking about doing this. I might want to go with an agency for a little bit, do that. What's your experience? Like, this, that, and the third. I need just some expert advice from people who I trust and who I see have gotten to that next level.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, you can't figure everything out on your own.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And once you start to do that, then you start to make your voice and your path. And then re-strategize, like, make your shit, like, quarterly for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I did this in this 3 months. What do I want to do the next 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
Don't do too much year planning unless you have, like, a 2 years from now, I need to be doing this big thing.
Because
you can always focus on that big thing. But your incremental stuff,
yeah.
is where you start to make the biggest inroads. Because then you can say, like, damn, this didn't work. I need to switch this for the next quarter.
Yeah. Love it. Where can people find you on the internet?
So if you want to find me on the interwebs, my website is mensstylepro.com. I'm at mensstylepro on all platforms, from Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. I'm at mensstylepro. Or you can find me on my couch here in my office.
That's
and
right.
I won't give you my address. You just got to come find me.
And what projects do you have coming up that people can check out?
So this is going to be public knowledge now. So the Philadelphia-based brand, Armstrong & Wilson, that does men's accessories like ties, pocket squares on a luxury level. We are coming up with a collaboration.
Cool.
We're gonna drop 7 pocket squares for holiday. They'll probably come out in October.
Beautiful.
That's like my major project I'm working on. I have a bunch of other stuff too that I can't talk about yet, but all things will be well this fall. Perfect. Damn, I got some shit.
You do? Yeah. It's so exciting. Every single time I see you, it's something new, to where I am never surprised. Yeah. It's just another amazing thing that you've like put in your toolkit.
It's funny because like what you said earlier, like you're, what you liked about me, I'm aggressive about the things I do. Yeah. It's, I'm very quietly aggressive with certain shit. Yeah. Because I'll reach out to brands. Like something I think everyone should learn how to do is write proposals to brands, mm-hmm. and make them very succinct. Like my proposals are one pagers. Besides, I make a title page for every proposal. It's like a visual, like you see both my brand logo, their brand. So they're already thinking like, oh, together. Mm-hmm. I put a title for whatever it is, what I want to do. But I used to write like 6 proposals a week to send out to brands.
Get it.
And just say, look, I want you to do this. I looked at this within your brand. I think we could be doing this. Just from like an editorial perspective. Yeah. And at least one of them would hit back like, all right, yeah.
Why not?
That's 3 to 4 grand in my pocket. Yeah. Where if I didn't do it, that'd be $0.
Closed mouths don't get fed.
Exactly.
That's it. Thank you so much for talking with me. Yeah. So check out Sabir on all of his platforms. Definitely going to be a lot to look forward to this fall, including his fall fashions, which I'm always excited to see. Are you going to Fashion Week?
I got a bunch of invites. I don't know if I'm going to go. Yeah. Like, because men's was already earlier. Yeah. And this is a busy time. I also got to do dad things.
True. Oh my God. Yes. Being an amazing dad to your beautiful son. Yeah. And an amazing husband to your beautiful wife. Yeah. You're the best. Thank you.
I'm trying.
So good. Okay. We done.
We did it.
Peace out. Yay.